The Police Reporter. Again, we bring you the police reporter with his store of odd happenings taken from the police records of the world. These stories are true and dramatized for your entertainment. You will now hear the voice of the police reporter bringing you another true murder mystery.
In Paris, 17 years ago, on a lovely spring morning, Roger Voron, a young man of no particular abode, is sprawled indolently on one of the benches that line the Bois de Boulogne. An old lady, in passing, tries to hold the youth in conversation.
It's a grand day, isn't it?
Yes, for some people, maybe.
Aren't you glad spring is here?
I've nothing to be glad about.
Oh, are you unhappy,
yes,
then?
Yes, I am.
Won't you tell me why? Perhaps I can help.
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten since yesterday afternoon, and I haven't slept in a bed for 4 nights.
Why, you poor boy.
I don't need sympathy. What I need is food or money to buy food.
Would you be offended if I took you to my home and gave you something to eat?
Where do you live?
Just across the street. I have rooms on the fourth floor of that building over there.
Well, perhaps I'm not showing the proper spirit. Maybe you'll find me surly and resentful. But I can't help it when the rest of the world is gay and happy while I'm like this. I'm grateful to you. But I deserve better than a bench to sleep on and scraps of food flung at me by strangers. But I suppose I should be grateful even for that. Yes, I suppose I should.
Five minutes later, in the old lady's apartment.
Sit here in the kitchen with me and we can talk while I prepare your food.
Thank you. Do you live here? Alone?
Yes, I'm a widow. My husband died 12 years ago.
Then you must have some kind of an income.
Enough to keep me.
You're lucky.
Oh, I think so. That's why I try to help those who aren't so fortunate. Would an omelet and coffee be satisfactory?
Very. Now, you must have a lot of friends.
No, not one.
Aren't you lonely?
Not particularly. I have my books, my cat, and the whole of Paris to amuse me. After my husband died, I couldn't afford to keep up with my old friends, and I was too old to make new ones. So I packed all my treasures in that chest you're sitting on and moved in here. And here I am, contented.
So I've been sitting on a small fortune and didn't know it.
Oh, hardly that. The chest contains things of a sentimental value. Their value in money would be small.
Aren't you afraid someone might rob you?
Who would want the few paltry francs I have?
Someone as desperate as I am. Someone you might bring up here and feed just as you've brought me. Someone like me to whom a few francs is a fortune.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
But you should be.
Why did you lock that door?
Just making sure I won't be disturbed.
Disturbed?
Yes. I don't want anyone coming in here during the next half hour.
What are you thinking of, young man?
I'm sick of being poor. I'm going to rob you.
Oh, you couldn't do that.
Couldn't I? Watch me. Where's the key to this chest?
I won't tell you. I'll save you from being a thief in spite of yourself.
Where's the key to that chest?
I'll not tell you. Help! Help!
Shut your trap!
I'm being robbed! Help!
Keep quiet, you fool!
Oh, put that bread knife down! Put that knife down! Help! Help! Help!
Five days later, the police broke into the old woman's rooms and found her body. The only clue to the identity of her assailant were a few bloody fingerprints. The fingerprints of a man unknown to the police, and consequently, almost impossible to trace. 2 years pass, and the murder of the unknown woman is still unsolved. Roger Voron is in prison, awaiting deportation to L'Île de Ré, a vermin-infested penal colony which French criminals dread more than Devil's Island. We find Voron sitting with his cellmate, an old offender named Bébert.
What are you so gloomy about, Bébert?
In another 2 weeks, they'll have enough poor devils like us, and we'll be on our way, Voron. You for 10 years, and me for life.
Ah, L'Île de Ré can't be any worse than this prison. So why be gloomy about it?
Oh, can't it? I've been there, I know. There isn't a worse place on the face of the earth than that hole. I'll tell you what it'll be. All day long, every day, you'll slave in a blazing sun, and at night they'll throw food at you that a Paris street mongrel wouldn't eat.
It'll be food anyway.
Then you'll sit around and talk about Paris until your heart's broken. Then you'll go to bed. But for an hour, you won't sleep because of the heat and the insects. But even they can't keep your tired body awake any longer than that, and you'll drop off.
I've slept in prison before.
Yeah, then at sunrise, they'll wake you up and throw more garbage at you. And it'll start all over again. And the only time the monotony is broken are the days when they tie you to a post and whip you. And you think it can't be worse than this? Ha! Don't make me laugh.
Well, it can't last forever.
It will for me. I'm going for life.
Why don't you commit suicide?
I haven't the nerve.
You're a brave man, aren't you? You can kill others, but you haven't the nerve to do it when it comes to yourself.
Well, at least I have the nerve to kill others, which is more than a petty burglar like you can say.
Oh, yeah? Well, I did kill someone once, but I was never caught for it.
Who was it?
An old woman. She took me to her house to feed me, and I killed her and robbed her.
And the police never found out who did it?
That was over 2 years ago, and I never was caught.
You expect me to believe a story like that,
eh? Well, it's true.
It's just the silly bragging of a small thief.
Oh, is it? Well, I can prove it. Her name was Messetier, and she had rooms on the fourth floor of a house just off the Bois de Boulogne.
Well, how was she dressed?
She had on a brown dress, and she was cooking some food for me. When I made up my mind to rob her, I told her my intention, she began to scream. That got me scared, and I grabbed a kitchen knife off the table and stabbed her. She died almost instantly.
You're not lying to me?
I'm not. I swear I'm not. But why is this so important to you?
I'm going to use it to save myself from going to L'Île de Ré.
You're going to tell on me and hope for mercy?
No. I'm going to confess to it and go to the guillotine.
You'd rather die than go to the penal colony?
Yeah, much rather. Better an actual death than a living one.
While it seems hard to believe that a man would confess to a murder which would surely cost him his life, that is exactly what Bébert did. We find him next in the office of the warden, where he is being questioned.
So, Bébert, she resisted your attempts to rob her, and you killed the old woman.
Yes, sir.
What was she preparing for your meal?
Well, some meat and potatoes.
And when she screamed, you stabbed her with a kitchen knife?
Yes, sir.
It's a very good story, Bébert.
It's a true story, sir.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
It's strange that the Paris police know nothing about it.
You mean that there was never a murder committed?
That's just what I mean, Bébert.
Well, he lied to me, then. That petty, stealing rat, he
Who?
Lied. That Roger Voron. He let me think that if I told you this story, I could cheat L'Île de Ré. Now I've got to go away.
Quiet, Bébert. Hello? Hello? Bring me Roger Voron to the prison and governor's office immediately.
You're having him brought up here, eh?
Yes. I'd like to talk with him.
So would I. I'll tell him a thing or two.
You'll keep your mouth shut while he's here. Bébert, thanks to you, we of the police have solved a very baffling case.
What case?
The one that we were just speaking of.
Then the old lady was killed.
Yes, but you didn't do it.
How do you know I didn't?
Your fingerprints don't tally with those of the killer. Besides, the old lady wasn't cooking meat and potatoes. It was an omelet.
Then you tricked me into giving away Voron, eh?
I'm sorry, Bebert. It was the only way. Come in.
Here's Roger Voron.
Bring him in.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Voron.
Yes, sir.
You'll excuse me a moment while I look in the files for your fingerprint card. You two men may talk.
I've nothing to say to him.
What's the matter, Bebert? What did the prison governor send for me for?
You'll find out soon enough.
Is it important?
To you, yes.
Well, then, here we are. Now let's look these over. This is your fingerprint card, Veron?
Yes, sir.
Bebert had just come to me with a confession of murder. The murder of an old woman who was stabbed to death just off the Bois de Boulogne.
Yes, sir, but how does this concern me?
Bebert didn't do it, but I have a feeling that you did.
I, Governor? Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you? Then how did your fingerprints get on the knife with which he was killed? Look, you can see for yourself.
I didn't do it. I wasn't in Paris at the time.
What time?
Why, when the murder was committed.
Oh, don't waste your breath, Veron. Bebert has told me all about it.
You low, sneaking police spy, you. You come into my cell and beg and plead with me to save you from Lille de Ray, and then you tell the prison governor everything.
Well, why didn't you tell me the old woman was cooking an omelet?
Well, what difference does that make?
All the difference in the world, Veron. We knew what the old lady was cooking, and we knew that the murderer knew, but Bebert didn't know.
And an omelet will cost me my head?
Yes, Veron. An omelet.
An omelet.
Four months later, Roger Veron was executed in the same prison where he had made his first confession. Once more, the police had won.
Have just heard another true murder mystery brought to you by the Police Reporter. Listen in to the dramatization of our next unusual happening taken from police records. This is a radio release production.